Welcome back, everyone, to Intuitive Conversations with Tamara and Chantel. I'm Chantel Neufeld.
I'm Tamara Friends.
And today we're talking about
assumptions and how our underlying assumptions shape the way we move through the world, even though we might not recognize it or be conscious of it, and especially how they influence the way we do relationships.
Yes.
So what brought this topic up for you, Chantel? What made you interested in talking about this?
I don't know. I've been thinking a lot about relationships and also about how we make meaning of things that happen. And sometimes the meaning isn't correct. It's based on like our past experiences. And, you know, if we don't ask for clarification on things, then it can really get misconstrued and we can end up with hurt feelings and for what?
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And I think sometimes our assumptions are based a lot on how we operate, how we interpret the world. We have our own kind of inner world going on. And we kind of tend to assume everyone is kind of marinating in the same environment that we are. And it can come as a real shock, maybe. Like there's always that honeymoon period when you're in a new relationship and everything's exciting and everyone's trying real hard. So
all the love languages are being used.
The love bombing, yeah. The best behavior. And then when you really, you know, get deep into it and maybe make a commitment to move in together, live together, you know, to get married, whatever, all of a sudden things crop up and it's like, where is this coming from? Mm-hmm. And then the misinterpretations of like, why would you say that? Yeah. Where, you know, I would never do that. So why are you doing that?
Yeah.
And then the tricky territory that we get into because we make assumptions and we speak out of our assumptions and without necessarily checking, are you interpreting this the way I'm interpreting this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, checking for clarity is such a good idea. And you can only be curious and check for clarity if you're like somewhat regulated. Because if you're not regulated, then it's going to be like all defense mode or all like offensive mode. And like often it's not really about you. If someone lashes out, it's about, you know, something from their past was triggered and they're maybe not aware of it. But so a better idea is to just get a little curious about like,
I don't know about you, but family cultures and the way they enter into relationships, like a lot of our assumptions are formed in the early years by the way our family cultures operate. And I'm still at this point in my life, and I'm in a long-term relationship. I've been married almost 40 years.
Wow.
And there are still things that crop up. My family culture is very different from my husband's family culture. So I was raised in a family that is overly sensitive. Like to offend another person is almost like the worst sin you can do.
Wow, that's so, just like eggshells constantly.
Well, my husband that's his term for us. It's the eggshell family. Cause it's always like, oh, did I offend that person? I hope they didn't, you know, I shouldn't have said that. Why did I say that? You know, and the fear of confrontation and all of that, like you really want to be diplomatic and tactful and all those things. And my husband's family culture is a much more tell it like it is kind of culture. Right. And so the assumptions that I have about rudeness, or about, wow, that was insensitive, or even just, why did you say that so loud? Those people over there could have heard.
Yeah.
It's a lifelong process. You keep bumping up against things that were conditioned in you at an early age that are just unconscious until you start realizing, I need to become aware because this other person in the relationship is coming out of a completely different context. And what I think things mean isn't necessarily what they think things mean.
Mm-hmm. And the study of like our different types, or like human design, or even like we're both cancers. So I think that's why we understand each other and we don't offend each other.
And lots of Gemini too.
yeah, exactly. So, you know, we're talkative and curious and all those things.
Yeah.
But as a child, I thought everyone saw the world the way I did. And
Mm-hmm.
then every day
That's a
that goes
human
along,
tendency.
yeah, every day that goes along, I'm just realizing just how different we all are. And like some people process through talking about it. Some people process quietly, you know. Some people are, I don't know, they.
And then we make assumptions about why someone's not talking, right? Are you mad at me? What did I do? Did he? Yeah.
And that's not it at all, you know. And also, me being on the spectrum, I have such a vivid imagination. I can just go like light years into the future at the speed of light, you know, and figure everything out, and like everything can just be like I could jump from this conclusion to that one,
Yeah.
and I can change my mind just like that. And other people need a lot more
Right.
time to process and grow and build and all these things
So
where.
then you're in a conversation, right? And you have been on your light year
Yeah, in
thinking
an
path. All of a
instant.
sudden, you articulate something, and the other person's like, "Where's that coming
Yeah,
from?
yeah. It's just
How
like,
did you get from
whoa,
here to
slow
there?"
your horses. Like, I'm not there yet. And so, yeah, that's kind of been a challenge for me, moving to the world, just in any relationship or family stuff, where you just kind of gotta recognize your own stuff and be like, okay, so they're going at a different pace through life.
Yeah,
Okay.
that I would say has been the greatest gift that learning astrology has brought me is when you start delving into the charts of different people and realizing how the different energies combine and how people are so different. It really changes your expectations of other people and your expectations of yourself, right? If I come from a family, and there tend to be family signatures, you know, so everyone in my family has a certain amount of Libra in their chart. So there's a lot of people pleasing going on, and there's a lot of, you know, social intelligence and just knowing how to navigate different situations and how to be diplomatic and smooth the water over and how to compromise and, you know, all those sorts of things. And then you bring in another family culture that has a strong Aquarian signature, which is lots of independence and individuation and non-conventionality, and no, I'm not going to conform. And you know, then sometimes opposites collide.
That would make parenting very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and you can look at it with a more objective viewpoint and just say, isn't that interesting? So here we have a family culture now where Libra and Aquarius are kind of in the mix, and how does that look, and what are the gifts and the shadow sides of each sign? My husband and I are actually complete opposites, where I'm Libra rising and he's an Aries rising, and those two signs are opposite each other on the chart. And so, you know, they say opposites attract,
Yes, they definitely do.
which we're often looking for someone who brings in the
The
opposite
balance,
energy.
yeah,
Yeah.
for the balance.
But we don't realize that we're meant to balance each other. And so
And we're meant to
often,
trigger each other to grow.
and so the assumptions that couples bring in, because if I'm a Libra, I'm really valuing that social intelligence and knowing how to get along with people and how to make people feel comfortable and how to ease tension and those kinds of things. And if somebody's coming in with more Aries energy, which is individualistic and combustive, and you know, that's a completely different, you know, can be quite naturally confrontative. And there's a place for that. And so a Libra needs to learn from the Aries person how to be more assertive, how to make your needs known, how to actually have a backbone and stand up for yourself when you haven't been treated right. And so this is a gift of just being able to appreciate what each person brings to the table and to check our assumptions at the door. I love Brené Brown's question, do you truly believe everyone's doing the best they can?
And not that it's a true or false thing, it's about a helpful belief at the time, you know,
Right?
like.
Because if I have a strong Aries personality, my belief is everyone needs to stand up for themselves, and I'm here to blaze my trail and, you know, make a beeline for my goal and not necessarily, you know, be deterred by other people and pursue my agenda and be able to achieve what I want to achieve. You know, and that holds value for that person, right? So it's not that as a Libran, I might feel steamrolled by someone who's extremely assertive or even aggressive. And on the other part, you know, on the other side, they might look at me and make assumptions about, well, why are you letting yourself be a doormat?
But like both energies need a bit of the other one to be balanced.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. But you see so often in relationships where there's this tug of war, right? And at this point, well, here's the Aries energy being really assertive. And then the Libra energy is like, well, that's not fair, you know, because everything they want to balance. And and the constant tug of war, instead of what can I learn from this person? They're obviously in my life to help me develop something that I'm not as strong in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've definitely seen that in my relationships where I'm just kind of more airy-fairy, you know, like I do, like everything's emotional, everything is just fluid. And then it's like,
Someone comes in very structured.
Very structured and
pragmatic.
Yes. And then I'm just like, oh, okay. You know, I feel like I need to balance my mental and emotional, or I need to get more into my body. Like, I feel like I'm in my ethereal body, but not in my physical body a lot of the time. And so I need that balance and that reminder. So. Yeah, that's fun.
We kind of had a proliferation of sort of like personality systems, whether it was the Myers-Briggs or a lot of people are into the Enneagram these days. Mm-hmm. There's astrology, there's human design.
Everyone has their...
Yeah, and I think it's been useful. And like, if you don't get too tied to it, it's really useful in terms of just appreciating
Diversity. Yeah. Even if you don't understand any of those things, just to know that people are very different than you.
Yeah. And just to realize this can enrich me. This can enrich my life.
Mm-hmm. And that, you know, it's not what we're assuming of the other person.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yes.
Yeah. They are doing the best they can. They are trying to figure out stuff. They do want to be in relationship. They just don't have the same way of going about it.
We're also in such a time of flux. You know, it used to be that our culture was a lot more homogeneous.
And what does that mean?
Sameness.
Oh, sameness. Okay.
Right? Like, people had similar values. Like, if you think back to being a child and growing up, we always had multiculturalism as a value in Canada. But if you grew up rurally, especially, you know, there tended to be a certain sameness in the community. And even though there might have been different churches, kind of the value system was similar.
There was like a safety in that.
Yeah. And I think people didn't have to question their assumptions because we more or less assumed the same thing. Mm-hmm. Right. We assumed values like thriftiness. You don't waste things. Or you take care of the environment, not so much because of environmentalism, but just because we live here. We keep our town clean, right? Or we don't throw garbage around, or we don't pollute things, because that was a value of just And that has kind of disintegrated, and so now I think there's a lot of discomfort for people where we're having to check assumptions because people don't behave necessarily the way I was taught up to believe people behave.
And a lot of talk goes on about diversity, especially on one side. I don't remember what side it is. I mix up the left and the right and the blue and the red all the time. I just don't know.
You're
but
so,
the one that's...
You're so blissfully uninvolved and unattached to like the whole political spectrum.
Anyways, the one that's more into diversity sometimes can get so like, these are our beliefs and this is what we stand for, that anyone who, you know, picks and chooses from both sides a bit, or wants to just be individual and not necessarily, or just the person who wants to be the devil's advocate in the group, sometimes is ousted because they're not they don't fit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I think the further you move from the center on both sides, people get more militant and intolerant about what their beliefs are. And it's funny because if you just sit down with people in a cafe or something and strike up a conversation, chances are it doesn't immediately go to politics.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, where are you from? You know,
or what did you do for your vacation?
Yeah,
or
that kind of thing.
What's your day like? What's your week like? Yeah.
And most people are personable. We can get along. That was one of the greatest lessons and joys of walking the Camino last summer, was that you meet people from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
Men, women, children, people of all ages, people of different religions, whatever, all walking the Camino. And the talk is about, oh, what made you decide to walk the Camino? And then you get into your life experience and your life stories and all that kind of thing. And there were very few conversations I had where politics even came up. And it was a pretty, because I was Canadian, and this was right around the time when all the talk about Canada becoming the 51st state of the U.S. was kind of really current. Trump was making a lot of noises about, oh, our beautiful 51st state, and calling our prime minister governor of Canada and that kind of thing. And, you know, it was very incendiary. So I had the odd question about it, but it really didn't, I wasn't interested to talk about politics. And for that reason, you connect as people.
And I feel like you were more embodied because, like, you were physically walking every day and you had to take care of, like, your daily needs. You had to make sure you had your water, you washed your laundry every day. Like, you were really, I feel like, more embodied than we are, like, on a day-to-day basis here.
Well, and we were having a common experience,
because
everyone had to do those things, right? And so there's a shared experience.
You need each other, you know.
Yeah,
there's no ousting anybody, because, like,
that was my hope, actually, during COVID, because I thought, here we are in the shared experience of a pandemic, which is frightening for everyone. And we're all trying to support our healthcare workers, and everyone's frightened and everyone is feeling isolated and all that kind of thing. I really had hopes that we would pull together, and initially it seemed that we would. And then very soon it just seemed like there were forces out there, and maybe on both sides of the spectrum, that were seeing an opportunity to create division between people and then steer things for their own agenda.
Well, I'm glad that didn't separate our friendship.
Yeah.
I feel like we had the common value, though, of freedom of choice for each other and respecting each other's choice in, you know, that big debate.
Well, and the thing is, we, in our political climate, you go straight to assumptions, and the rhetoric and all of that pushes us to do that. Oh, these people over here,
they don't care about the rest of us.
They don't care about putting you and your children at risk, or they don't care, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It gets framed for us before we even can sit down with someone and have a personal conversation about,
like, why, like,
I'm making this choice because of this. And
And then when you do, you're like, oh, okay, I understand. And then it's not a thing anymore. And so, yeah, if we can do that in other conversations, that will be very helpful in our relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really healthy to question our assumptions, because it makes us less afraid. You know, political systems and often religions use fear as a tool to shape people's beliefs and people's thinking, and to kind of create this us and them dynamic where, oh, you're part of the club now, who, you have the right beliefs, or and those people out there. And we don't get a chance to sit down and bring up, like, even make conscious what our assumptions are about what other people are. It's just framed for us. And
we need to be careful of that. We need to make sure that we're asking for clarity and not making assumptions. If you're feeling bad about something in a relationship, a better option is to ask for clarity rather than just assume.
Yeah. Early on in our marriage, my husband and I went to a weekend. It was called Marriage Encounter, I think. And the tool they introduced there was writing notebooks.
Oh.
So, and they had us do several sessions where they would send us away with a prompt or a question, and we each had to write about it. And then we had to come together and exchange notebooks with each other and then talk afterwards about it.
That's fun.
And the intention was that this becomes like a tool that you use regularly, which we never did, like, institute it as a regular thing.
But you guys like have your coffee when he gets home from work every weekday, right? Like
Yeah,
you.
we connect daily, and I think that's really important. But because we had that tool in our toolkit, like there were times when, something would blow up, something really felt really big and scary or whatever. And then we had that tool of, well, I'm going to write a letter to my partner, or my partner's going to write a letter to me. And the thing is, when you get a letter from your partner, you can't interrupt and argue with them.
Yeah,
You
you're
go
less
off and you read
defensive
it, and
and yeah.
yeah, and you have to read the whole thing and take in what they're saying, and maybe realize, oh, they see this situation differently than I did.
There's a reason
Yeah.
and
Or
yeah.
it triggered something that goes way back in their history to something really painful
Yeah.
that they experienced as a child. And so I touched something really tender and didn't realize it, and it completely changes
Yeah,
everything.
'cause then you're not like in fighting mode anymore. You're
Yeah.
in more understanding
Yeah.
mode and nobody's to blame. It just simply is.
I don't know if I brought this up before, but early in my teaching career, I was teaching a grade 5-6 class, and I had two students in my class who butted heads constantly, and they were both quite stubborn. One of them was really quite immature, and that student's behaviors triggered the other. So there was a boy and a girl, and they got into some big blow up out on the playground. And because I didn't have time to counsel them and deal with all this, I just sent them away to write to me what happened. So they each told their story. And then I sent them back and I said, good, now write this as if you are Matthew, and write this as if you're Linda. And I didn't actually have a lot of hope that they would be able to make the mind shift to be in that other person's skin. But they both had the imagination to do it.
Love that.
And when they, and the story changed, like they could really see how that other person might have viewed what was going on. Because I made them write it in the first person.
Oh, that's so
And
cool.
so what came out of that was the girl, she was in grade 6 and the boy was in grade 5. So she, I think, felt a little more mature, and she took the lead and said, can we work on, because we were doing something, I think, for with health or whatever. They were doing a poster project, and she asked if she could work on it with him. So
Okay.
it's really can be a big a game changer when you
You step
actually
into their
realize,
shoes and
yeah, you realize that your assumption made you judge that person in a way that maybe they didn't actually deserve, because they were seeing it from a different, completely different point of view.
That's so cool that you used your intuition like in teaching. I love that story. I love that we learn new stories every time we talk.
Yeah.
But anyways, looks like we're at time here. So to wrap up, don't make assumptions. Ask for clarity.
Or maybe question, like, what assumption am I making that's causing me to see this person or this situation
Are causing me
in
to
this
be
way?
unhappy? Is there another way to frame it where, we could both be happy?
All right, until next time.
Keep following your heart song.